Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I grew up in a very religious Muslim family and it felt inconceivable to be gay. Then The second is culture. And sometimes those two are intertwined. It's very difficult to untangle them from one another. But in my culture, in South Asian culture, marriage and family are such an important part of your future. I mean, interestingly, you know, we're going to talk about the podcast in a minute, but we've kind of come full circle because now we're talking about family. But marriage and family and kids were so important. And it felt like by being gay, I'd have to let go of that future.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I am your host. And you, my friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is to highlight, uplift, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA plus families in all of our beautiful identities. And this episode does not disappoint on that front. Let me just get right into it for you. I got to sit down with Mohsin, Matthew, and Dahlia, the co-hosts of a new podcast, Tiny Huge Decisions, a show that I think you all are going to love. So basically, in a nutshell, Matthew and Mohsin want Dahlia, who is Mohsin's BFF from like way back, to be their surrogate. So the BFFs thought, you know what? This is a huge decision. Let's talk about it on a podcast, which I freaking love. And so they did just that. It's amazing. And so what they do is they go in depth into the many, many layers we all know of conversation that comes up with using a friend as a surrogate. I mean, just even using a surrogate, right? But they sat down, they went in depth into every single layer. They peel back the curtain here, and I'm all for it, obviously. We need representation like this out there. I'm so happy they're doing it. So anyway, I sat down with them and I got some behind the scenes info, y'all, about Mohsin and Dahlia's friendship, Mohsin and Matthew's relationship, how religion and family played into their coming out stories. Probably, as you can imagine, with religion and family and things like that, it was tough. So I got some behind the scenes info that you don't necessarily hear on their show. But before I roll the tape, you're going to love it. First of all, you're going to love it. And then you're going to want to go listen to their show, Tiny Huge Decisions. It's great. But before I roll the tape, I have another ally voicemail to share. I don't know why I go into like Oprah mode every time I have to announce something. Y'all can tell me to stop. It's fine. As you know, if you've been listening, weeks back, I asked the allies who listen to the show to reach out and tell me what they get out of the show and why they continue to listen. And boy, did they speak up, y'all. Let's hear it for the allies. Can we give them a hand? Give them a hand. I mean, let's hear it for them. And this one comes from a friend of mine, Shafatia, who was in one of my intros as a guest introducer with me a couple seasons back. Let me tell you something. I'm always low-key like shocked when my friends actually listen to the show and like it. Shafatia is number one in my book. She's a huge fan. She talks to me about the episodes when I see her at school drop-off. She's the sweetest. You got to take a listen to what Shafatia has to say. And just a disclaimer here, she did record it on her phone while standing in like the median in New York City traffic. So I think Gerson did some magic with it. So just take a listen. And thank you, Shafatia.
Hi, Jamie. This is Shafatia standing on the median of the West Side Highway. So if you can't hear me and you want to translate this for the queer family squad, that's cool. You branded me an ally. So I am going to say that I'm an ally, and that's why I'm leaving. Well, that's not why I'm leaving a message. I'm leaving a message because I love you with all of my heart, but also because an ally should leave messages. So I have a question. I earned my ally status as the child, non-bio, of a gay man. Are your children allies, or is there another word for the children of? I want there to be something else, but I don't know what it would be. So I'm looking to you, and I'm looking to the queer family as well. We can figure this out together. Anyway, beside all that, love you, love the podcast. You know, I listen the second they come out, and I think everybody should. Straight, the people who think that being gay is different and wrong, and all they have to do is listen to these amazing, beautiful stories of people who are intentionally building families to see that not only is it not wrong, but it is amazingly beautiful. And I am now out of breath as I walk down the street. Love you. See you tomorrow at drop-off. Kisses.
So Fatia, what a great question. And thank you for asking it. And thank you for sending in that very thoughtful and beautiful voicemail. The answer to your question is yes, there is a term. I don't love it, but it is kind of like loosely tossed around. And I didn't interview a couple of youngins back, way back in like season 2, who wrote a book about being what this term is. It's called queer spawn. So that's a term to describe children of LGBTQ parents. It's a term that's like widely understood and slightly popular. I personally don't like the sound of it. It sounds kind of like mold to me or something. It's weird. However, for lack of a better term, that's the term. If anybody, I feel like we on the show should come up with a better term. And if anybody knows of one, please write in, call in, do the things. I'd love a better term to call my kids because I don't want to call them queer spawn. I don't know. Sounds like a horror movie to me. No offense to anyone who loves that term, though. No offense. It's not my jam, but yes, there is a term. Thank you for asking that, Shafatia. If any episodes resonate with you, I want to hear from you too. I want to hear from everyone, whether you're an ally, a queer, a parent or not. I want all of you. You can email, DM, you can reach me on the socials, which is DM, and you can even send a voicemail or text to 646-470-1840. There's so many ways. I am everywhere you didn't want me and more. So just find me and reach out. There are many more of these to come because y'all are actually reaching out and I appreciate it. So if it takes a second for yours to air, have no fear. They're all coming. They're in my log. There's a little waiting list, but I appreciate every single one of y'all. I really do. Okay, that's all I have to say. I would like to roll this tape, and I am going to ask my beautiful and lovely assistants, two of whom are smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey as we speak. It is literally 3:00 in the afternoon. Ladies, Helen, Beulah, Nicole is not. Nicole is dutifully on her computer doing work, like I know she would be, because Nicole is a hard worker and is killing it in this world. All right, ladies, only one of these people exists, by the way. You guess who. Ladies, could you please roll this tape? Thank you so very much.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Mawson, Matthew, and Dahlia.
Hello.
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 It is wonderful to have you here. It's been a while since I had three people in an interview. So you're already trailblazers. Good job.
Thanks. We'll try not to talk over each other.
I don't care if you do. I actually love it. So don't worry about it.
And I was saying that mainly for myself.
Listen, I'm going to talk over you too. So don't worry about it. This is how we go. This is how we roll. This is how we roll. So you know what? Instead of me trying to explain who you are and butcher it, I'm going to have you do it in your 30-second elevator pitch. Are we ready?
Absolutely.
All right. And I know they already have a plan. I love this. On your marks, get set, go.
I'm Matthew. I'm married to Mawson.
And I'm Dahlia.
Oh. I thought we were just setting names and you were in bed.
All the best. It's going really well. It's beautiful.
And I am Mawson. And I'm an author. I'm just going to say a little bit about myself, because that's what we were all supposed to do. Dahlia is a medical anthropologist at UCL.
This was not an elevator pitch.
We have 3 seconds left, and Matthew is the creative director of a travel brand called Roadbook. We've already gone over time.
It's not a job interview. Can we just start that again?
You're terrible at this.
We're not starting this again. This is beautiful.
An elevator pitch for the podcast.
This is amazing.
I'm going to keep going. Dahlia and I are the co-hosts of a podcast called Tiny Huge Decisions, which is a limited series podcast exploring whether or not Dahlia will be a surrogate for Matthew, who is sitting next to me and who is my husband, and for me. And Dahlia and I are best friends from university.
Boom. That was beautiful. I mean, you did go over, not going to lie, but...
That was because these two kept complaining.
Dahlia, we didn't get enough of your resume in there. Do you want to go back and chat us through your work experience?
I didn't tell you my whole life story yet.
I'm sorry, but the fact that you're an medical anthropologist is relevant to what we're doing.
It is not relevant. Anyway, should we hand over to Jamie?
It's not. Okay, listen. I love the premise of your podcast. I love the idea for your show, and I have gotten little sneak peek glimpses of it, and I think it's great. I just love that you're breaking down this discussion, because this is a really, really important discussion that our families go through, and the research involved, and that conversation, which can be so nerve-wracking, and you just put it all out there. So, you know, kudos. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. So let's start from the beginning. You two, Mohsin, and I'm trying to say your name right, and I just don't want to butcher it.
You're nailing it.
Okay. Because I love it. I want to say it right. And Dahlia, that's my niece's name, so that's easier for me. You two are like BFFs, no?
Yes.
So you go way back. Can we take it to the way backness?
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time. We met at university, which was now 20 years ago, which is embarrassing.
Yeah, actually, it is 20-year anniversary. What is it now? September. So the 20-year anniversary will be next month.
Yeah. Drinks. Here we go.
so we met at university and became friends almost instantaneously.
Amazing. And I love the banter that you two have as friends on the show. That's fun. I love a good banter. And, you know, best friends fight and make up and all in like 1 minute. So it's fun. Can I ask, Mohsin, were you out when you two met?
No, actually. And so I wrote a book called A Dutiful Boy, which is about being queer and Muslim. And actually, Dahlia is heavily featured in the book. And one of the things I talk about is how our friendship helped to save me and also helped me to finally come out. And Dahlia was the very first person I told that I was gay.
Can we go into that a little bit? I would love to hear that story. Are you both Muslim?
No, I am.
No.
Yeah, and I'm from a Christian family. So my family are Egyptian Christians.
Okay. Well, both of them can have interesting views on homosexuality.
Interesting, yes. So,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And Matthew's Catholic.
Yeah, I'm not Muslim.
Oh, you're covering all the bases here. Look at us. Look at us go. Well, can we talk about that whole, the coming out and how it went down?
Well, to tell you the short version, I was having a breakdown, actually a mental breakdown. And I was kind of, I guess, coming apart. And there was one night in London where we had a friend's birthday. And I was from London, nobody else was. So a group of friends were like, right, where do we go now that we've had this meal? And I accidentally, on purpose, picked a discreet gay club.
As you do.
Because I needed, because I needed to confirm it. I know it sounds like a weird thing to say, but I needed to just go somewhere to just be like, is this me? And as soon as I walked in with Dahlia and our group of friends, I was like, yes, this is.
You were like, where are my tassels? Here, let's go.
Exactly. And then anyway, we all went back to a friend's house that night where we were all staying. And Dahlia and I stayed up the whole night talking. We were sat on the bathroom floor. And I spent about 3 hours asking whether she would still be friends with me if she knew that I was a terrible person or I'd done something horrible. I was being quite evasive about what it was. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I told her.
Wow. And what happened?
Well, I think I didn't know this was coming. I had no idea what he was trying to say. And it was taking a long time. Like when he says we were sitting on that bathroom floor for 3 hours, we were really sitting there for hours. It was a long build up. And mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed to say that I really thought he had killed someone or murdered someone or done something really terrible.
Oh, wow.
Because he just awesome. Kept saying, you're not going to want to know me. You're not going to want to be my friend. No one's going to want to know me when you know what I am or what I've done. So obviously I thought it was something really terrible. So I didn't want to take away from his moment. But when he said, I'm gay,
yeah,
I was underwhelmed.
When you build it up like that, he's like a serial killer over here. You're like, oh my God, just tell me. Oh, wow. Okay.
So he said it and then we carried on talking and we were there all night actually, just talking it through. And what you were saying before is relevant because, you know, Mohsen's from a Muslim background, I'm from a Christian background. But at that time, which is now 20 years ago, neither of us knew anyone actually who was openly out and gay. And that was like a first for me as well.
Wow. Yeah. The world has changed drastically in the past 20 years, right? Even in the past 5 years. So it's not shocking that you weren't around gay people before that.
I will say is that the world has changed in some places and even within the West, only in some, in quite large pockets, but in there's still lots of people who really struggle with it.
Right.
And, but you're right. I mean, it's changed in a way that now we probably would have had a different conversation.
Yeah, right. But well, can I ask, Mohsen, where do you think that inner turmoil came from? I mean, I know it can come from so many places, but why did it take you 8 hours on the bathroom floor to get to the point with your best friend, you know?
I'd say there was three things. So the first is faith. I grew up in a very religious Muslim family and it felt inconceivable to be gay. Then the second is culture. And sometimes those two are intertwined. It's very difficult to untangle them from one another. But in my culture, in South Asian culture, marriage and family are such an important part of your future. And interestingly, you know, we're going to talk about the podcast in a minute, but we've kind of come full circle because now we're talking about family. But marriage and family and kids were so important. And it felt like by being gay, I'd have to let go of that future. And then finally, just it was family. Like my mum and my dad and my brothers, we, you know, Dahlia just said that we didn't know anybody who's gay. We certainly didn't. And to the extent that we even knew what the concept was, it was demonized. And I didn't want to do that to my family. I felt like I'd be inflicting violence upon them. The way I put it is children live inside the hearts of their parents. And so because they have access to the keys, they can do more damage than anybody else. And that's kind of how I felt, is if I came out, I would break their hearts.
That's tough. It's so tough. And you're not alone in that, right? And that whole having a family conundrum is something that really, really is something that we queer folks have to grapple with when we're grappling with coming out. It's something we have to understand, come to terms with. And 20 years ago, there weren't resources like your podcast, like my podcast. There were no books. If you didn't see it around you, you didn't know that you could make a family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Matthew's experience was actually more positive. And that was 20 years ago as well, right? It's probably worth saying that you had a slight, in different ways, I guess.
I would love to hear. I was going to go there. I would love to hear.
Still a lot, like coming from a small town in Ireland, still a lot of internal struggle with your own identity, but still a lot of the same feelings of wondering whether or not you're going to be rejected by your family. Mm-hmm. But actually, my mom had a very similar reaction to Dahlia in the end of it all. Like once we got to the bottom of everything, my mom was just really happy that it wasn't anything, like that my turmoil didn't come from a really bad place. And she was just kind of wanted to move on and it was completely normalized. So that was really great. But
that a mom.
Yeah, it was really nice. But still, I don't know. Yeah, there was, you know, still that thing of coming from a small town and
Small town island.
It's not a very comfortable place to be gay, even if your family accepts you. It's, I mean, things have shifted since then, but it's never easy.
No, right. Still to this day.
Yeah.
So Dahlia, you find out Mohsen is gay. We're cool with it. We're good to go. And then you start living that gay life.
Yeah. Did he?
He threw himself in.
Uh-oh. Okay.
He changed overnight. It was like, well, actually, the next morning, like we emerged from that room and he was a different person. He was just walking down the streets telling me like, that guy's hot. Look at that guy.
There you
He's
go.
Really fit.
That's amazing.
It was a transformation immediately. But, you know, we joke about it, but it was really tough. It was tough couple of years then following that.
I'm sure. And so now you've found each other, Mohsen and Matthew. How long ago did you meet each other?
7.5 years ago.
Huh. Yeah. And when did you get, and you're married?
Yeah, we got married last April. We were supposed to get married in 2020, but we were one of those unfortunate COVID couples who had their wedding scrapped weeks before it happened. But it all worked out. Yeah. So we got married in a lovely ceremony in London last April.
And Dahlia was the master of ceremonies.
Of course you were, Dahlia. You are just there every step of the way. Every step of the way. You go. I love this. And okay, when did talk of family building come into your relationship?
To our relationship.
To your, Mohsen and Matthew.
I guess it was a slow progression because I come from a big Irish family. Mohsen comes from a big Pakistani family. And I guess over the years, we were comparing notes about what it was like to come from bigger families and how much support and sense of community you get from your family. So I guess there would have always been little conversations about whether we saw that in our own futures. And obviously, we met when I was so young. You know, you were a bit older, but
I'm so old.
So when you're a bit younger, obviously those conversations aren't fully real. So.
He is a year and a half younger than me. Can I just, he's a year and a half.
Kind.
He's contextualizing it as if I'm like a decade older. But I think we kind of had this like kind of the chats that you have at the beginning of when you're dating somebody of like, oh, so, you know, what does you, do you want kids in the future? Especially, I think, as somebody from the queer community, it's kind of much more of a prominent issue that you have to, I guess, think about, right?
Yes.
And so, and we both flagged that it was something we'd be up for in due course. Right. And then we kind of put it down while we figured out whether we actually wanted to hang out more.
Right. But, and that's why I ask that question all the time, because it is, it's one of those things that we're going to have to talk about like right away. It's the intentionality that we bring to family building. Like you got to get it out of the way right
away.
Know that you're on the same page, know that you want to do it. And cause then, you know, all of the other decisions that have to get made and all of the other work that has to go into creating a baby, because it just doesn't happen naturally for us, unfortunately.
No.
All right. So then you get married, you do the things. And Dahlia, all this time, you're also living your life. You got married. I think you had a kid or two.
Only one.
One kid. Good job.
That's enough. Yeah.
It really is. I agree. I have two. So you're doing your thing. You're living your life. You're still great friends. When does the talk of how are we going to build our family come? When do you start talking about that?
So like you said, I'd got married, I'd had a daughter, and she's now 4. So at some point, 4 years ago, I think I'd always known that Mohsen wanted children. I'd assumed that him and Matthew had talked about it. And I think, you know, we discussed that they wanted a family. And I was pregnant with my daughter. Yeah, and I said, you know what, if this pregnancy goes well and I enjoy being pregnant, maybe I could think about being your surrogate. And he just looked shocked. And I'd kind of said it as a joke. And I don't even really know where it came from. It just came out. And then fast forward a year later, I think I said it again. And it was one of those things that I don't really know why, but it just was in my mind and it stayed with me. And it was there from the moment I was pregnant to after I had my own child. He was there. Him and Matthew were somehow there in the background thinking, this is something that they want. And maybe it's something that I could help them to have. And I can't explain why, but I've kind of felt like if I thought it and I'd said it out loud, it was something that we needed to talk about and we needed to give some time to actually discuss them.
Wow. And then what was the conversation between the two of you, Mohsen and Matthew, at home surrounding family building in general? And then like, okay, now we've listened to what Dahlia said.
I think at that point, we'd already been in kind of a bit of a research phase. So we were looking at surrogacy options in London and even just abroad as well, just to see, you know, weigh up the different options, what they look like. And then this conversation came up with Dahlia.
Yeah.
And I think we're both really excited in the first instance, which is a really good sign because it's, you know, a big process to go through regardless, but to go through that with one of your best friends can add so many layers, different layers to the mix. But I remember just being really excited when I heard about it.
Yeah, like I remember coming home, and as Dahlia said, we talked about it once when she was pregnant, and I didn't really want to, I didn't want her to think that there was any sense of expectation on my side. So I didn't. And also, I would never ask somebody to do that for me. There's something about it that just felt uncomfortable. So then I remember when she brought it up a year later and said, like, hey, we should talk about this. I went home and I told Matthew, and your first reaction was really excited. And then you paused and you said, whoa, actually, this is a really big deal. And you can't, you have to take it seriously. Otherwise, you might ruin your friendship.
Right. It has a lot of layers that you got to get buttoned up, right? A lot of layers. But you knew, but you, did you know that surrogacy was the route you wanted to go already?
No, we didn't actually. We were open to, we knew we wanted kids and we were open to adoption, but we kind of went back and forward about whether or not adoption was right for us. But in truth, the conversation with Dahlia came up before we'd had a meaningful conversation about how we were going to have kids. And so it kind of meant that we ended up talking to her about all of this before we decided what we wanted to do, or whether we'd really, before we'd given proper thought to what the options were.
And that is what made it quite strange, because it's not like they were talking about surrogacy, and Marcel and I had never probably had a conversation about surrogacy, and it wasn't something that was in our minds and on our radar, but it just happened. It just kind of came up quite organically. And then, like they've said, once it came out, it was something that we stepped away from the kind of joke and the like, oh, this is exciting, and been like, oh, actually, this is quite a serious proposition. This is something that we need to talk about. And that's, I think, where the idea for the podcast came, which is that Marcel and I, when we meet, we talk a lot and we talk over each other and we talk about a lot of different topics. And we
I can confirm this.
And poor Matthew. Kind of thought, like, you know what, we poor Matthew, exactly. He doesn't get
it's true.
So we kind of said, like, you know what, we need to dedicate some actual time. Like, we need to say that we are going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this element, and we need to focus, and we need to do research, and we need to find out, because it was a topic and a thing that we just didn't know that much about, either of us, from both sides. So the idea of the podcast came about like that, like a need to have a dedicated discussion about this big topic.
Yeah. And actually, we were really disciplined about not talking about the issue when it wasn't a designated time. And so we would hang out, go for dinners, but we wouldn't talk about surrogacy. We would only do that at the designated time. And yeah, okay, partly that was about making sure that we had our feelings on record, but it was also, the great thing about doing it as this podcast was that the producers of Tiny Huge Decisions managed to introduce us to a bunch of experts. So what that meant was that our conversations were structured, but and so was our thinking. And it meant that it just allowed us to really be in the moment and go, okay, well, what does this bit mean? If we talk to this doctor and the doctor says these are the implications, or if we talk to this person who has been a surrogate for their sister-in-law and this is how they reacted, what does that mean for us? And so it was, there was an artificial nature to it in a way, because we'd be having dinner and not talking about this huge thing that was going on in our lives.
Right. Yeah.
Queer Family Podcast.
Have I mentioned to y'all that I have a promo code for any of y'all who are in the market for some sperm? And I imagine many of you might be if you listen to this podcast or follow my show. And guess what? It's from the same cryobank that I made my babies at, y'all. California Cryobank. It's a full service sperm bank. And for over 45 years, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQ plus clients create the family of their dreams, including yours truly right here. I love them. I absolutely do. They are the number one sperm bank in the US, and they ship to over 40 countries. And they have one of the largest and most diverse selection of sperm donors out there, which is important. Let's be real. Now, to learn more, you're going to visit cryobank.com and you're going to use promo code QUEERFAM, that's QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 donor subscription to their donor catalog. Oh my God, go shop, go make those babies. I can't wait to hear about the babies you make. Go make those babies. Use that code. Queer fam. Queer fam.
Love is love.
I listened to a couple things and I do want to delve into, because there are differences between surrogacy where you live and surrogacy where I live, right? So I do think we should delve into that a little bit, because I was a little bit shocked by one of the things that you mentioned. I was like, what? And we'll get into that. But I do want to know also, Dahlia, what are you doing? Like, how are you talking about this with your husband? You have a husband, right?
I do, yeah.
I didn't want to assume if there was a husband or a wife.
Yes, as Mohsin says, like, part of what we were doing was talking to each other and talking to other people. And then one of the things that we were doing behind what you maybe hear on the podcast is talking to the people who are closest to us. And so for me, that did mean my husband. And I decided not to necessarily talk to my family about it at this stage, just because I'm quite close to my family. They're quite big. And I felt like it was too complicated to involve like another 7 people in the decision, you know, that I was trying to make in my kind of more immediate family. You know, so I didn't talk to my parents and my sisters and brother, but I spoke to my husband, obviously in the background. But he felt like, before me and him talked about it even more, like, he wanted me and Mohsin and Matthew to talk about it, and for me to almost be clear in my thinking and clear in my decision without his opinion almost clouding that. So it maybe sounds a bit funny, but I think he just wanted to give me space to figure things out myself and then go back to him and say, like, actually, I am really serious about this, or this is what we've decided.
Wow.
So yeah, we talked about it. I knew how he felt, but he kind of was a bit in the background, like, definitely in the podcast, for example.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. First of all, good job, husband. Attaboy.
He's awesome.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Sounds like it. I love him already. He's one of the good ones. Forgive you.
I mean, I think he just didn't want to be on a podcast to be talking about really personal things.
Yeah. My wife doesn't want to be anywhere near my podcast. Anyway. All right. Let's get into surrogacy in the UK, right? I do have a lot of UK listeners, so a lot of you probably know, but let's just dig in, because it's different than in the States.
In the UK, you can undertake something called altruistic surrogacy. So what that means is that the surrogate can be paid her expenses, but she cannot be paid a fee, a commercial rate for her time. And that's probably the single biggest difference between the UK and the US, at least in terms of cost. And then legally, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to turn this into a boring, I used to be a lawyer, but I'm not going to turn this into a legal lecture. But legally, one of the most meaningful differences is that in the US, you have certain states where you can get something called a pre-birth order.
Yes.
And what that means is that the couple, so let's say Matthew and I had a US surrogate, we could be named as parents on the child's birth certificate from the day of the child's birth.
Right.
That is not true in the UK. In the UK, you have to go to a lot of expense. You have to go to the High Court and you have to get a court order that recognizes you both as the parents of the child. And so on the birth certificate, it is the surrogate's name. And if she is married, it's the husband. So in this case, it would be Dahlia and Dahlia's husband's name.
That's huge. And like, I don't know, I feel like that needs to be changed, because that's crazy. Like, if she's altruistically going into this for you, then she should be able to not be put on the birth certificate. It's already understood. It's already like done, right? Anyway, that's my opinion. I feel like, but a lot of things need to be changed when it comes to LGBTQ folks and LGBTQ family building across the world, right?
Absolutely.
So, of course, you have to get things legally bundled up. You're an ex-lawyer, Mustin, so you know about this. But did you go into discussions about how you would, like, do you have to go through the psych eval, Dahlia? How does, like, is all of that the same in the UK?
I don't know about the psych evaluation, but definitely, let's say we made the decision to go ahead, that's the very beginning of the process. So even just saying, like, yes, I'm willing to, you know, try and be your surrogate, is the very start of a very long process, which would involve medical tests, first of all. We got hold of the kinds of legal agreements that in the UK surrogates and intended parents go through. Mm-hmm. I think one of the episodes actually is us discussing that kind of legal document and making decisions about all sorts of things, from how many times I would be, for example, willing to go through the implantation process, to what all of us would do under circumstances, like if there was a problem with the baby or screening revealed something, whether we were all willing to not drink alcohol for the whole time of the pregnancy. You know, so things from small decisions and small details right up to the really big kind kind of questions
right.
that it's advised that people can go through and would go through if they were going through kind of more formal channels. But I guess that kind of is what changed when it's two people who know each other and are friends and are deciding to do this kind of thing between them.
The tricky thing I feel in this situation, like you're asking your best friend to possibly carry your child for you, is it can be so easy to slip into that friendly place where you trust each other, you know each other. That can be so easy. And you really, you just can't when it comes to something this huge, right?
Absolutely.
That's the tricky, sticky situation.
I think that's one of the things that I kind of fell into very early on, because there's a few jokes on the podcast about how I'm just totally up for it. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be really fun. It's going to be really nice. Because I was just really very early on super comfortable with the idea of Dahlia being our surrogate. Mm-hmm. I mean, as they do in the podcast, they both go off and do a lot more exploration and looking into the potential problems that could cause, both you know, like physically to their friendship. But yeah, there's a lot to it.
A lot, yeah, yeah.
And I guess, like, I don't want to speak for Marston and Matthew, but I think one of the things that was really nice about this kind of process was that for them, having somebody that they know and who's a really good friend, like, takes away some of the worry and the anxiety in this process. But as you're saying, it also creates new kinds of problems and new kinds of anxieties. And one of them is exactly what you're talking about, which is when you're really close, how do you have these quite difficult conversations where both of you have really high stakes, but you actually care about each other as much as you care about yourself? So I think that's one of the other reasons why we wanted to talk about this and we wanted to do this podcast, is because you don't often hear those stories. You don't often hear the kind of really messy entanglements and negotiations that people have to go through as they're going through them. You often hear about these stories like after the fact, when somebody or people have already made the decision and you don't know what went into making that decision. So hopefully that's quite a nice thing to be able to have a window into. Like, people get to eavesdrop on us having these conversations in real time, working and out these tricky things.
Especially those folks who are listening right now who are about to start this process and are worried about the conversations. You know, this is great. This is a great way to get some ideas, perhaps, right? Also, one more thing that I want to bring up, and I know we have a hard out, so I'm not going to draw this out too long, but one more thing is your friends, your best friends.
Yeah.
So Dahlia, you're going to be around forever, hopefully. And if you do go this surrogacy route, like, you got to figure out what that relationship is with the kid. And you have to talk about that anyway with a surrogate, but this is way, you're way closer than most surrogates. So,
yeah. And again, that was something we talked about a lot, but in some ways it produces something, or it affords a potentially really beautiful situation in which I could be the surrogate for a child that is going to be in my life in a really meaningful way. And that's pretty unique and pretty special. And I think that's amazing.
Right.
But equally as terrifying.
Yeah.
The thought of then knowing or having this relationship, you know, for the rest of that person's life or for your life. I don't know. And I don't know enough. I don't have enough exposure to people who've been a surrogate or who are the child of surrogacy or these kinds of relationships to know even where to start kind of imagining what that feels like.
And the relationships can run the gamut. I mean, it's an empty slate. You get to make it. You get to do it. And people do such different things. And that's the beauty of our families, but that's also big complications of our families.
Yeah. And I think one of the complexities from our side was that we feel really strongly that our children should have strong female role models in their lives. Mm-hmm. And for us, naturally, one of those people would be Dahlia. Mm-hmm. But I remember one of the conversations we had where Dahlia said that, look, if I do this, I'm going to need some space because it's going to be, I'm taking words out of Dahlia's mouth now, but I envisage that it will be hard to have to give up or to give this child away that I've just carried for 9 months.
Right. It's not for everyone. Yeah.
No, but hearing that, I mean, first of all, I totally respect that from Dahlia, but hearing that for me was, it just gave me pause for thought because it made me think, but you're my best friend, and this is probably the most important thing that's happening. And so the idea that you wouldn't be there, and I know you've been there for 9 months and carried the thing, but like the idea that you wouldn't be there is a really difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so layered. It's very layered. very layered. And you still have to get your egg donor. You still have to do all that. So absolutely, this is really, yeah, you're just in the preliminary stages. Okay, one last question. Do you have a plan? And if I can't ask this, you don't have to answer. Do you have a plan in case the answer is no? Or have you gotten that far? Thinking.
So it was very important to Dahlia that we do have a plan in case the answer is no. Mm-hmm. And so I pretended that we did for quite a while. And then, and then she forced me to actually say that I had one. And so we have given it some thought. We've given it some careful thought.
Oh, good.
The truth comes out. Exclusive information, yeah, right here. All right. So if everyone at home wants to hear, because you're going to reveal your answer at the end of the series, correct?
Yes.
Dahlia? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So, episode 7 is the big reveal.
All right. Well, everybody has to tune in and find out. And then maybe there'll be like a second season where it all, you know, we follow you doing it. Who knows? Who knows? So tune in, tell everybody where they can find it and where they can follow you if you want to be followed. Some folks do, some folks don't, but tell them all the things.
So Tiny Huge Decisions, available wherever you get your podcasts. And I find it insufferable to even try and remember my Instagram handle.
Okay.
So, but right, there is a Tiny Huge Decisions Instagram page that you can follow.
Dahlia, you want to add anything that you'd like to share or about you or Matthew or where people can find you?
Oh, I mean, potentially lots, but I think I should just hold back.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I've already overshared on the podcast, so I think that's about it.
There's no such thing in my world as oversharing. So much to my wife's
chagrin. He hates it.
It's too bad. I'm sorry. I'm an overshare by nature. So everybody go listen to the podcast, subscribe, rate, review, do all the things that I ask you to do for mine. And then I can't wait to hear how it ends up.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having
thanks
us
so
on.
Much.
Thank you. Thank it's you. Been great talking to you.
Ah, thanks for coming. Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.